The guys, James Stoffer, if you could come and help us. And actually, I don't see Matt here, and Dan is not feeling the best. So we actually need one more volunteer, somebody wouldn't mind coming up. And all you'd have to do is help the candidates down into the water and help then help them back up when they come out. So here, Pat, great, thank you. I don't think this is going to reach.
Got the magic touch.
Good morning, church. My name is Shane. My family and I came to this church approximately 2 years ago. Not by accident. I'm very certain that that God sent us here in his ways. So I've been baptized like so many others before me. As a Lutheran at birth. But unknowingly, without my personal making the commitment to follow Christ, I never gave any more thought until I came, started learning more about baptism and later on, adult life when you're in full ownership and knowing of your faith. So I realize I own my faith, and that is another reason why I've chosen to be baptized today as an adult. I am standing here before everybody and verbally, publicly committing and reconfirmation that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus tells us, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." And today is why I've decided to be baptized. Thank you.
About your word. Lord, he's become a student of you, a student of your word, and his desire to grow. And I know that you will honor that desire, and that he would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today that as he continues to hunger and thirst after more of you, that he would find satisfaction in you alone. And now, Lord, I ask that you would bless him as he's obedient to you in the waters of baptism. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I remember when Shane and his family first came to church, I was just blown away by their servant heart, their servant attitude. I think it was maybe their first week or possibly their second week here. They came up to me and volunteered for Center Shop. To help teach the Bible lessons. And I felt like Jesus saying to him, "You don't know what you're asking." I don't know if they realized what they were getting in for. It was a major commitment, over 8 weeks. But they just jumped right in and helped out. And they've been such a tremendous blessing to us and to Stand upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, recommitting your life to Him. We now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
My name is Bobby Stocky. Some of you may not know who I am, but I was baptized in a Catholic church as an infant, but that was my parents' choice, which I'm grateful for, but that wasn't my choice. So today, this is my choice. Thank you. And I asked my husband, Randy, to deliver a prayer over me.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Bobby Stocky. Before we talk about this prayer, I just want to thank you for just providing me with such a wonderful wife. She's just been incredible the last 32 years that I've known her, and she's been a wonderful mother, grandmother. She's just an awesome person. And I thank you for that, for just blessing me to just have her in my life. But as we pray for Bobby, continue to bless her as she gets baptized today. She is growing in your faith stronger and stronger every day. And just the blessings and the grace that you give her and the forgiveness of the sins. We just want to thank you so much for what you do for our family and for Bobby. And continue to bless her and give her grace throughout life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Got a great heart and loves the Lord and is growing, and so it's an honor today to be able to baptize.
Bobby, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we do now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. I want to be baptized to follow Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this precious child that you have brought into James and I care. Just we praise you for such a tender, loving child who has a heart after you. Just so touched by her tenderness towards you. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to draw her closer to you, show her how much you love and care for her. Please be with her in all of the jobs that you have for her throughout her life, Lord, and continue to keep her eyes fully on you. Lord, I just praise you that she has asked you to be her Savior and that she wants to follow you in being baptized because she wants to be like Jesus. Lord, I just praise you and bless you, and I am very excited, Lord, to see what you will do with Eliza throughout her life and how she can serve you best. Amen.
Thinking about you, that you're special to her, which makes her extremely special to us. So really proud of you, Eliza. And then all my kids love you tremendously and enjoy spending time with you. And times in Iwana teaching her, she is one smart cookie. All right, you ready? Eliza, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is our honor to be able to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Job, Eliza. I want to say thank you to Eliza first because I didn't have to move the mic up much here. I'm just so happy to be here today, and I love you all, and thank you for being here for us. The journey for me has been long. Filled with a lot of spiritual ups and downs and torment. And God pulled me out of my lowest moment in a way that I knew it could only be God. And I'm so thankful for that. And when he pulled me out of it, told me, you're still going to repent and you're still going to pray every day, but you're not going to live the rest of your life in shame. You're not going to live like that. And so I'm just so thankful And I'll, on the way here, I just said, I gave myself to you, Lord. And I just ask that today, you take, use me and take me to another level that I can't imagine. And I'm so thankful.
All right, I had to write something down because this is a very emotional day to me too as well. I've known this man for 22 years of my life, a little over 22 years, and as I met him as a young woman, he was loyal, strong, dedicated, hardworking, always seeking the truth and always standing up for what was right. But he did struggle, and he did come to terms with God. June 7, 2020, I prayed on my knees for God to save my man, this wonderful son of God, and turn him into whatever he could, not for me, not for our children, but as a son of God. And I thank God every day for him, for our family. So I'd like to say a prayer over him today. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift of life in this man, this son of God, Daniel Victor Dietzman, who is to be baptized today. Let this day, this moment, be a vivid and living testimony to the word, to the world, and to our community, our family, our friends who still struggle, to be a living testimony of great, strong, impenetrable change that can only take place through your love and your salvation in Daniel's life and for others. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. May your blessing of peace and joy be with Daniel and all the others being baptized today, to protect them, guide them, and hold them in your mercy all of their days. We make this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and out of obedience to him, we do now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
My name is Hannah Hank, and I want to live for Jesus, so I am getting baptized.
Lord, I just thank you for this day that you've given us. I just pray that years ago you knocked on Hannah's heart, and I'm so thankful that she opened the door to you. I just pray, God, as she goes forward from today, that you would put your hand of protection on her, that she would grow to continue to be a godly young lady, and that she would have you as the center of her life for all her years to come. Just thank you, Lord, for the sacrifices that you made and for the calling that you have called us to be baptized in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hannah is our reigning center shot champion. She got to brag about her to the boys group that I taught her earlier this week, some archery. Actually, our champion is a girl right now. Hank family is such a special, sweet family, and we got the opportunity to hang out with them last night over at their house, and my kids were really impressed with Hannah, and they were telling me the whole way home that she's super nice. I've never really talked to her before, and we got to talk to her, and I think they're kind of looking up to her at this moment, so very proud of you. She seems like such a sweet, humble person. Amen. All right, Hannah, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it is our honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
I've decided to get baptized to show that I've accepted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And not his choice, not my mom's choice, my choice.
Amen. All right, and just a quick story. We were talking, Cole was almost a week old before we could decide on a name for him. So I went home one night from the hospital, and that night it was going to be Sawyer, and when I came back the next day, John's like, no, I don't think so. So I actually talked to I had a student at school who happened to be Jewish, and we were kind of like traditional things. And Kol means all and together and voice.
And I haven't shut up since.
Okay. Which is kind of true. If anybody knows him, they usually hear him coming before they see him. But it also is, he explained to me, it was for them tradition that was the voice of God, thunder and lightning, something they actually felt and heard. So that's what I hope for him as he grows older, that he is going to be that voice for God and just continue. So, all right, quick prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, and we just thank you for Cole, and I pray right now, Lord, that you would use his voice, that he would go out and it would start fires for you, and it would start fires in people's hearts. And that as he grows and that he wanders, that it's going to be because of you and for you. And that this choice today is just the beginning, because he's always had this heart for you and just such unselfishness. And I pray that that would continue, Lord, and that it would cause wildfires in people, because that's what we need today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Reaches out to Sam as a friend to Sam.
he always brings a smile to my face. Every time he's around, Cole's going to do something to make you laugh and make you smile. And always willing to help out. Always ask if you can jump in and give a hand with anything or help out in any way. So really special kid. I was 9 years old when I was baptized, so we're about that same age. So blessings to you. You ready? I call upon you for profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and your own personal decision to be baptized today. It is our great honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name's Nate Flanders, obviously Cole's dad, and to quote something biblically, this is my son, who I'm very proud of, thankful of, paraphrasing, but not too many dads get to do that, so this was a great honor for me, so I'm glad I was able to do that. I was baptized when I was much younger, and basically this was something I felt like I was supposed to do last time, and I'm like, oh, you know, things came up, I got distracted, whatever. And I'm like, so, okay, Lord, it's just trying to be obedient. It's personal to me. But when I got baptized the first time, that family was different. None of you were there. And this is my new family. This is who's been my family for the last few years now. So I want to thank everybody for that. And, again, this is the public confession, but I'm just trying to follow what God's told me to do. So, and I've asked Alan to speak for me.
Hey, everybody. It was an honor to be asked by Nate. Brother Nate, friend Nate, to pray for him. You know, I've gotten to know him over the last year or two. We got to go to a retreat together, men's homeschool dad retreat, and we all got to know each other really well. But he's got a real heart for God. I see him in the God and the Guys group making comments and bringing us to important places that God wants us to go. I could tell he reads his word, he cares about it, he cares about his family. And then working with these kids as a counselor, that these kids are tough and have had troubles and he's there for them. That's a hard job and you got to have a lot of faith and love. So I really respect that. So if we could pray, we'll pray for Nate. God, we just thank you for this opportunity today and for Nate's heart. And that he wants to make a public declaration to his church family, in front of his church family, to you, Lord. He especially asks for help with your Holy Spirit in making him the father for his children that you want him to be a godly husband to his wife, and first and foremost to be a strong disciple of yours. So we just thank you for him, and please bring your purpose and your plan to him in a powerful way, and we're just excited to see what you have for him and his family going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
To obey and to listen to God. And even sometimes when, you know, you don't know the reason.
So named upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we do now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
I guess I can go really slow then, give them time to change. We'll do the announcements first and then the offering after that. So you can look in your bulletin and go through this with me, but I just want to bring up a few things so you don't miss them. So Living Last Supper, we are doing the practices on Wednesday nights, and if you're involved in that or want to be involved in that, please come. And then also for Watch the Lamb, the ending part of that. There are posters on the back table for you to hang up and tell the community about this wonderful presentation to show people what God did for us. The WM Bible study is on Friday, March 10th at 9:30 a.m. and Monday, March 13th at 6 p.m. Notice there is a time change. And they'll be meeting in the fireside room studying divine conversations. The teens, young adults, and parents, please sign up for talking with your kids about Jesus. We'll be starting that program pretty soon. We want to make sure that everyone gets the book so that they can be prepared for that. Next week, we don't want you late, so please remember daylight savings time. We are springing ahead. You're going to lose an hour. Try to get to bed a little bit earlier. I know it's hard because you're used to the old times, but please be here so we can all worship together. Pizza, 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 Friday, March 24th at 6 p.m. Bring your favorite pizza and we'll enjoy a time of fellowship together. So we've been talking about this community egg hunt for a while. This is coming up. There's a lot of work to do for this. So April 1st is the big day. We're going to need a lot of help. Talk to Josh if you can help. Please bring gifts for the eggs, and then we're going to be filling the eggs when March 12th at the church. So we're going to be needing people for front tables to hand out tickets, setting up the hunts, guiding traffic. There was a ton of traffic last year. There's a lot of need for that. Face painters, game leaders, singers, and more. We need everyone to come and help where they can. Let me see. Oh, sorry. I said March 12th was the egg packing. That's when we need the stuff for. The egg packing is March 13th, the day after, at 6 p.m. And just to get you to come out, there'll be pizza and drinks provided, so you don't have an excuse not to come. I think the next thing we'll do is Tanya.
Morning. Several weeks ago, Pastor mentioned these booklets. I know many of you took them, Steps to Freedom in Christ. This went along with, goes along with the series he's been doing on spiritual warfare, Finding Freedom in Christ. Those that took these, I'd really urge you to contact either myself or Denise Avery or Pastor Rick. These are most effective. They're meant to be a tool that somebody walks you through the booklet after you've read it. And they're really most effective when you have somebody walk you through it. So I'd really urge you to contact one of us to set up a time to go through it with somebody. Also, however, there's, this is a tool. It's a fantastic tool that has been very effective in so many people's lives, in bringing freedom, in bringing true identity. Who are we in Christ? Who are you in Christ? And not walking in shame and guilt and whatever and all that stuff. There are other tools that accomplish this, and one is a book called Soul Care. And there's actually a Soul Care conference coming up in the Twin Cities. This was written by a man named Rob Reamer, who God has been using throughout the entire world for 30 years, ministering freedom and deliverance to people across the globe. And he has seen thousands and thousands of people set free. And he is coming to the Twin Cities in June, doing a Soul Care conference in June. The conference is normally $125. It costs $100 through the end of March if you buy your tickets before the end of March. There are these flyers. Some of you might have gotten them with your bulletin. Communication didn't get through, so not everybody got it with the bulletin, but they are out on one of the black round tables back there. You do have to purchase tickets online. I do have a sign-up sheet on the black tables out there, so if you're not somebody who wants to deal with trying to find it online and purchase it, sign up. I will help you get tickets for it. There might be some interest in carpooling. There might be some interest in getting a hotel, so we don't have such a drive. There's a space on the sign-up sheets if you're interested in potentially carpooling or rooming with somebody at a hotel close by. There's a spot to just check that off, and if there's enough interest, we'll get that arranged also. But it's June 8th, 9th, and 10th. The dates are on here. It is a Thursday through Saturday, and it does mean if you're working, you probably have to take off work. But this is life-transforming. This is definitely worth it. If there's any way you can go, this really is an amazing, amazing conference. So I'd encourage you, if you at all can go to the Soul Care Conference, to do so. If not, have somebody go through this booklet with you. We do have a few more. They're in a box kind of under the front pew right now. But either way, you know, we want to be all that God's called us to be. And we often don't realize where we have things that hold us up. And that's what Pastor's been speaking on for a while now. And so I just encourage you to do one of these. Thank you.
Ushers, please come up for the offering. So during the offering, we will be showing a video about the VBS that we'll be doing this summer. So please enjoy that. And it's another area where we need people to get involved. Dick, would you pray, please?
Put on socks with damp feet. All right. Yeah, I got this one. So, make a deal with you. Give you a free lunch. If you hang with me here. So, let's probably move this one. I don't know, does this one move too far? I'll just, if I go over here, hopefully I won't back up into the tank. So I would, I'm going to be up front with you today. I'm going to probably go till 12:30 because God just laid this message on my heart before tonight, because we're having a special meeting here tonight on apologetics. And that is, we had originally said it was for the family, but you know what, if you want to come, you're interested in that, come. And we're just going to see where it takes us from there. We will break down into families at some point, but it's such a crucial issue today, because it's teenagers, but it's not just teenagers. It's college students, but it's not just college students even that are losing their faith. And we want to do all that we can to disciple people and solidify your faith so that you don't have any doubts. So it's open tonight at 6 o'clock, and pizza will be provided. So not every night, but this first night we'll have pizza. And then we're going to see when would be the best time to meet. We might wind up doing it like on Sunday afternoons after church or something like that. So this is more of an informational gathering tonight to go forward. But let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, Lord, that you would just open your word up. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would help us to soften our hearts to receive your word, that the seed that's planted would fall upon good soil, and that it would produce fruit for the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our text this morning is Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. Could you just stand? I've got a lot of Bible verses today, but let's just stand for this verse here. In fact, let's read it together. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. You may be seated. A pastor that I know told this story. He said, several years ago, a mother and father found themselves struggling with a teenage daughter. They were all Christians. They attended church faithfully. The girl attended a Christian school in the church. And one morning after dad went to work, the mother and daughter were home alone together. And mom asked Sandy to take out some trash. And Sandy said, why don't you take it out yourself? The mother said, Sandy, don't talk to me like that. And Sandy snapped back, well, you don't care how you talk to me. Why should I care how I talk to you? Mom said, Sandy, I asked you not to talk to me like that. And Sandy said, I'll talk the way I please, Mother. I'm tired of you bossing me around. Sandy, do this. Sandy, do that. Why don't you just leave me alone? And with that, Sandy went storming out up to her room, and her mom followed her. And she said, Sandy, we need to talk about this. And Sandy, with sarcasm in her voice, replied, talk, talk, talk. All you want to do is talk. Just leave me alone, Mother. And the mother said, Sandy, please don't talk to me that way. I am your mother. And with that, she reached out to touch her and said, Sandy, I love you. And with that, Sandy looked back with fire in her eyes and said, that's just fine. But then she said, I don't love you. Just leave me alone. Well, her mom was hurt, and she thought it must be, you know, the best thing to do at that point is just leave her alone and let things cool off. In a little while, they were on their way to the school, and mom had set it up to talk with the pastor when they got there. They arrived and went into the pastor's office, and Sandy just sat there. She was sullenly slouching with her chin in her hands, looking in the corner while her mother told the pastor what had transpired in their home earlier that morning. And the pastor began to try to talk to Sandy. And at first, there was no response. And then Sandy's anger and bitterness began to spew out. And the pastor said, now, Sandy, you didn't really mean that, did you? Mean what? What you said about not loving your mom. Yes, Pastor, I did mean it. I'm tired of her always being on my case. Sandy this, Sandy that. If anything is wrong, it's always Sandy's fault. It's always Sandy's job when something needs to be done. I'm tired of feeling like a slave. I've had it. No, I don't love my mom. I hate her. I wish she was dead. My whole life would be better off. Now, do you think Sally really understood what she said? Do you think she was really understanding what she said when she said, I hate my mom. I wish she was dead. You know, I think it's probably impossible to violate the truth of Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me my heart, and not live to regret it. God gave me three Bible passages when he called me into the ministry. Two of these have to do with the family. Two of them have to do with the coming of the Lord. They're very similar verses. Those two are Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, see, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreaded day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. You know, of all of the things that Malachi could have told us about the preaching of the future coming of Elijah, he chose to tell us in verse 6 that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth, the land with a curse. And then Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it's talking about the coming of John the Baptist. And he said, he, John the Baptist, will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him, that's Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, both of these prophets were to turn the hearts of family members to each other. Both of them were to prepare a people for the Lord's coming. John the Baptist for his first coming, Elijah for his second coming. Elijah's coming again. He's coming in Revelation chapter 11 as one of two witnesses during the tribulation. And I believe that it is the church's responsibility to go before the next coming of Jesus, as we know the rapture, to come before He is coming in the spirit and power of Elijah to once again bring families together, to turn the hearts of fathers and mothers to the children, and to turn the hearts of children to their parents. And that's why we're starting this apologetic gathering on Sunday nights or Sunday afternoons or whatever it's going to be. It is Pastor Josh's and my desire to knit the hearts of parents and children together. It's our desire to come alongside of you as parents to help you disciple your children. And not simply through teaching, but through training. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says to train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we want to help you help your children to not fall in the trap of progressive Christianity, or have to watch them go through a time when they deconstruct their faith. And so I feel that this is the most important ministry that we could have during these times. And the closer we get to the return of Jesus, the more important this is going to become. So I want to talk about the heart this morning, first of all. And the heart of every problem is a problem in the heart. And Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says that we are to keep our heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life spring from the heart. And Jesus, he said this in Mark chapter 7 verses 21 and 22, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. Notice the digression there. First of all, it begins in the heart. For from within, out of the heart of men. And then it goes to the mind. Proceed evil thoughts. And then from the mind, it results in actions. Adultery, fornication, murder,
theft, and so on. So Jesus said that the issue that is the most important thing is the heart, because the heart dictates what the mind thinks. The heart dictates the actions that the body takes. Seven times the book of Proverbs tells us that the heart retains truth. You thought it was the mind, right? You thought it was your brain that retained truth. Well, God's word differs. God's word said it's the heart that retains that truth. For example, here's one verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You want favor? This is the year we proclaim. Remember, this is the year of favor. How do you get favor? You write the truth of God on the tablet of your heart. The man who wrote this was Solomon, and he wrote this to his son Rehoboam. And Rehoboam foolishly listened to his peers. He didn't give his father his heart. He gave his heart away to his peers. And he listened foolishly to them instead of the wiser men and the older men that were friends of Solomon. And what happened was Rehoboam wound up with a divided kingdom. People who don't follow godly counsel have already decided in their heart that they don't want to. That's where Rehoboam was. I don't want to listen to my father. I don't want to listen to those counselors. I want to listen to those my age and what they have to say. And I've discovered that if people reject the truth in their heart, it doesn't matter what else you do. You can't get through to them. Some people go from one pastor to another pastor trying to get one pastor to say to them what they want to hear. They do. We compare notes sometimes. But that's why there is such deception today. You can give people great truth, but if they reject it in their hearts, their minds will willingly be deceived. Peter talks about people being willingly ignorant. Explains a lot, doesn't it? The word heart occurs 943 times in the Bible. So it's a big subject. And the heart is the seat of the emotions. It's the center of your life. It's over and above everything else in your life. You cannot see this heart, but you acknowledge that it's there. I mean, if I tell you to just put your heart into something, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I mean. You just give it your all. You do give it your best. And sometimes there are people who don't have the skill level, but they got a heart that is so motivated that oftentimes the one with the heart, the biggest heart, can beat those that are more skilled at something. So there is no more vital organ in your body than your heart. You can't feel his heart, but you can understand it by comparing it to the heart that you do know about. And we know that without this heart, we would not live. And I would say to you that without your heart in the right place, you will not experience life the way God has intended for you to experience. And whoever has your heart will eventually have your life and your loyalty. Wherever your heart is, that's where your life is going to be at. And you know what, young people? Satan will promise you anything in exchange for your heart. He will promise you the world if you would simply bow down and worship him. If you would simply retain him in your heart. But you decide who you give your heart to. Because your heart was made to be given away. And so guard your heart by carefully giving it to the right people. So who are some people that you can give your heart to? Who should you give to your heart to? Well, we can all guess the first one. That's God, right? That's where it starts. We should give our heart to God. We should give our life to God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their what? In their heart. They always go astray in their heart. And they have not known my ways." See, sin does not begin in the head. It begins in the heart. It grows in the head, but it's grounded in the heart. It blossoms in the head, but it begins in the heart. Sin rationalizes in the head, but it's rooted in the heart. Do you know that atheism does not begin in the head? Proverbs 14:1 says, "The fool has said where? In his heart that there is no God." The problem with the people who do not believe in God is not what they think, but what they are. And who they are determines what they believe. And let me tell you why God wants your heart. Because if you give God your heart, you will have no trouble giving God your mind. If you give God your heart, you will have no trouble giving God your hands. If you have given God your heart, you will have no trouble giving God your feet. When you give your heart to God, the rest of you will follow. But if you don't give your heart to God, then the rest of you will wind up in wrong places and you can destroy your life. F.E. Marsh said, "When the heart is in the right place, it will place everything else in the place it should be." So I counsel with people, you know, they say, "Pastor, I have a problem with my eyes. My eyes, they look at wrong things." And I say, the problem is not with your eyes. The problem is with your heart. "But Pastor, I have a problem with my feet. My feet take me to wrong places." No, you don't have a problem with your feet. You have a problem with your heart. Because where your heart is, the rest of you will follow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And verse 9 goes on to say, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." You know where all this false doctrine comes from? It flows from a wandering heart. Isn't it something that somebody came up with in their mind? It was in their heart, first of all, and then it entered their mind. And someone said, "I like this. I love this. I got a Josh that we can have post things, you know, and have these nice, cute sayings. Well, this is one I'd like to put up somewhere." If you give God your heart, he will comb the kinks out of your head. So you should give God your heart. Give God your heart, first of all. Secondly, give your pastor your heart. I know it's kind of difficult for me to preach on, perhaps, but this verse does play heavy on me. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do this with joy and not complaining, for that would not be profitable to you." So the Lord has impressed upon me to preach this message before tonight as we kick off this apologetics gathering, and especially as we have families coming together. And then Pastor Josh and I would be honored if you would trust us with your heart. But on the other side, we know that we must earn it. And that doesn't mean that you never question anything that we have to say. But if we could have your love and devotion and your willingness to be taught, we would greatly honor that. It's interesting, I did not know this before this week, actually never considered this, that word submit is the only time this Greek word is used in the New Testament. And it's not the same word for wives submit to your husbands. It's a completely different word. And this word submit here means that there are times when you are going to have a combative nature toward your pastor. And I'll just throw this in here because as we get to that apologetics class, there you might be tempted to have a combative nature with us. And maybe you're here this morning and say, "I already don't want to go to that class. We already got a problem, Pastor." Don't let yourself get in this mode. Why? Because it will hurt me. It'll hurt Pastor Josh. That's not the ultimate reason. The ultimate reason is because it'll hurt you if you do that. So give your heart to God. Give your heart to your pastor. But really, the main point of this passage and this verse is to give your heart to your parents. It's my son. Give me your heart. Who's speaking? It's a father. In this case, it was Solomon talking to his son, Rehoboam. It's a father who understands life. And he sees ahead and he knows the dangers that his son is facing just up ahead. The number one person other than God to whom you should give your heart to, young people, is your parents. What is the world trying to do today? It is trying to separate children and young people from their parents. This is what the public schools have done. And you need to realize that public schools are not just neutral. They teach a religion. They teach a religion called secularism. And I could tell you young people, and perhaps you know of young people, that are at odds today because of what they've been taught in school. They don't agree with the parents' religion. They don't agree with the parents' political views and values. And it has brought separation between our children and our parents. And I'm going to go say this here too. I might make some people mad at me on this one. But we need to rethink youth ministry. Because traditional youth ministry is not working. 1 million young people turn their back, not on the church, but on their faith. 1 million. We are losing 1 million young people a year. The estimates are between 60 and 90% of our young people are not going to serve God in 10 or 20 years from now. Obviously, our current system is not working. I'm not saying we shouldn't have any times where youth get together and that. I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting that there should be more parental input. And I'm suggesting that conversations between parents and their young people, with the church reinforcing biblical truth and discipling the family unit, I believe would go a long way in the right direction. So may I suggest to you today that turning the hearts to your children and having children turn your hearts to them could be a way that you could save your family. And young people, your parents want your heart. They can't take your heart, but they want it. Many parents don't even know how to ask for it, but you have to give it. And you realize that parents, when it comes down to it, really they only want two main things out of you. They want you, number one, to do what is right, and number two, they want you to love them. And often parents will allow you to manipulate them because they want your love. Why don't you just stop manipulating them and reach into your chest and give them your heart? And parents, treat your children like sons and daughters and not subjects to rule over. Because the truth is, the more you invest in them, the more you treasure them, the more you turn your heart to them. And dads, that may be taking a look at second things. Maybe that job, that promotion is not in it for you. Maybe you need to look at that and say, is my heart there, or is my heart turned toward my family? What are you investing in? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So what are the things that you treasure in life? Because that's where your heart is. And I'm telling you this morning, I just want to encourage you. I know you know it, but there's nothing more important than your family. So make them, invest in them, invest a treasure in them. And young person, if you give your heart to the wrong person, you could throw your life away. And you say, but you don't know my dad. Let me tell you about my dad. You know what? I suspect I know about your dad. You say, but my dad, he gets angry at me. He's angry at me all the time. My dad, here's a good one. My dad embarrasses me in public. Young person, your dad is human, your mom is human. They will answer to God for what they did, what they do. But please don't throw your life away because of that. Forgive them. And I'm talking, if you have godly parents here today, you have a tremendous treasure. You don't know how blessed you are. So let me give you a little secret here. It's probably something you never thought of before. Your parents are older than you are. They have walked down the road of life, and they have seen dangers, and they know where that road comes out. They know where that path is that will take them. And so when you see your children walking down a path, if they are walking down the path of righteousness, you know what you should be doing? You should be praising them. You should be praising them and praising them and praising them. Your children crave your praise. They want to know that mom and dad is pleased with them. They you know, some children, they grow up, they spend all their life, all they want to do is hear their dad say, "I'm proud of you. I love you." Praise your children when they do that which is right. Now, when your children do wrong, yeah, run after them, grab them by the scruff of the neck if you have to, and don't let them go that way. But when you see that same child begin to do something right, to take a righteous step, then you need to praise them for that. In fact, psychologists tell us that our children need 7 times more praise than criticism. That's a lot. So there are sometimes you have to just let things go so that you can praise them and praise them and praise them and praise them and praise them. But here's another tip here. Never combine praise and criticism. This is what they do in the business world. And I have a tendency to want to do this with my wife. You see something that you don't like, what do? You praise them, and then you put the criticism on top, and then you better end it with some more praise. And as one man said, that's a bologna sandwich. And they can never enjoy the praise because they know the criticism is coming. So when you praise, only praise. When you correct, only correct. All right, I've already asked Josiah and Sarah and Jeremiah if they'd come up here today and help us with this next illustration. I have got to get a drink of water. We're going to go camping. That's why we got the tent. Thanks to Pastor Josh for the tent and the camp stove. And we don't camp. My wife actually has an excuse from the doctor to not camp for each. We had a church camping, and she was joking around with them and said, "Yeah, we had a church camp out. Can you give me a prescription to not camp?" And he said, "Oh, I love doing this." He got out his prescription pad and he writes, "No camping until eternity." And she looks at it, reads it, and says, "What's this about? I don't want to camp in eternity either. I want a mansion." So we are going to go on a little trip. We are going in a jungle. You can hear the sounds. Let's set the mood. We're going to go camping in a jungle. I'll skip this next part. Do you ever hear the introduction to the Song of Monk, the detective? It's a jungle out there. I'll just play a little bit.
It's a jungle out there. Disorder and confusion everywhere.
If that's true, disorder and confusion anywhere, the song goes on to say, who's in charge here? I'd like to know that too. Who's in charge of our world today, right? It's a jungle out there. And so we're going to go, where's Jeremiah here? Jeremiah, I need you to help me out. We need some water. And down at the end of that trail, there's some water. So I know it's dark. I was going to actually make this darker. Maybe you could turn the lights off for us. We're in the jungle at night. It's dark. You don't have a flashlight. But we really need some water. Could you go get us some water? Oh, before you go, I need to tell you that just down the trail, I saw this boomslang snake. It extends toward toward the branch. It lays motionless. It becomes like the branch. It mimics the branch. So they're very hard to spot. So you need to stay alert, okay? You stay alert, and you go get us some water. Oh, wait, before you go, further beyond the snake, I saw a cassowary bird. Do you know what that bird is? It's the most dangerous bird in the world. It's about 6 feet tall. And you can't outrun it. It runs so fast. It has three long dagger-like claws. It can kill you with just one kick. So you better be extra careful, okay? Watch out for the snake, watch the bird, and go get us some water because we really need some water. Will you go get us some water? Go ahead. Yeah, this seems a little hesitant, and actually, I do need to tell you something else, that beyond that bird, I saw a pack of wolves. Have you ever heard a wolf howl? I mean, it is eerie. Listen, I can hear him now. Do you hear that sound? Isn't that eerie? In fact, it reminds me of that Jisang's wolf. Have you ever heard about that wolf? It was the dangerous one that for people that ever lived. It was man-eating. The deadliest wolf to ever live. That wolf reminds me a lot of that one. But you know what? We need some water. So you be careful when you go by that snake and when you go by that bird and when you go by that pack of wolves. So go ahead. Go get us some water. Oh, wait. I forgot to tell you that beyond that pack of wolves, there's this lion. I mean, he has two canine teeth on top and two on the bottom that stand almost 3 inches long. They don't chew their food. Their teeth are too big to chew with, so they simply slice their food and swallow. And their claws are as big as your finger, and they're razor sharp. You got a small finger. I mean, they're like this. So you better be very careful, all right? Okay, go ahead. Go get us some water. Oh, wait, there's one other thing. Just beyond that lion, there is a Komodo dragon. I know you're thinking these aren't all in the jungle. I know. You can use a little sanctified imagination here this morning. They have a venomous bite. They have two glands in the lower jaw that secrete several toxic proteins. But we need that water. So first you got to remind him what he's got to face here, right? Okay, first of all, the snake. Then we got the bird. And then we got the pack of wolves. And then we got the lion, the king of beasts. And then finally you got the Komodo dragon. Would you like to get us some water? He's a little hesitant. I don't blame him. Why don't you come back here? What if we got you a flashlight so you didn't have to go in the dark? And actually, the light is the word of God, right? Because it's a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Right. So, does that make you feel a little bit better? He's still not quite sure. What if we have Pastor Josh come up here? And what if we have Mom and Dad go with? Everybody got their lights on? All right. Now let's go get that water. Oh, look. What's that? That's that snake we talked about, right? See that snake? Yeah, we better stay away from him. Oh. I think that's that bird. You better stay away from it. That bird could kill you with one kick, man. We better stay away from that. And then, hey, you guys look like a good pack of wolves over here. Not really. All right, tell me, what's next? Anybody remember?
Lion.
The lion. Let me hear you roar. All right, so we want to stay away from the lion, right? Dick, what are you doing out here in the jungle? Dick's been through his own jungle the last few weeks. Praise God he's here. And then the last thing is the dragon. And if we get all of that, we can get our water. Go ahead, dip your bucket in the water there. And let's go back here. Careful on the way back too, you know. We made it. We all made it safely. Let's give them a hand. You can keep the light. You can go sit down. Thanks, guys. Now, I want you to know that if you try to walk down to the river and you have godly parents and you try to do it alone, you are foolish. You are making one of the biggest mistakes of your life. And young people, I want you to know that you are living in probably the most difficult time of your life. Your young adult years, some of the most difficult times of a person's life. And not only that, I believe that you are living in one of the most difficult times in relation to history. You are living at a difficult age. You are living at a difficult time in history. And don't you dare try to do it alone. Don't you try to do it by yourself. Because what I showed you today in relation to these animals is nothing compared to what you actually face. Nothing compared to what you are actually facing in this spiritual world. Because you know that Satan is referred to in the Bible as five different animals. In Genesis chapter 3, he is a serpent snake who tries to deceive people. In Matthew chapter 13, he is a bird that tries to steal the godly seed before it can take soil and take root in a person's heart. He is out to destroy the harvest. And in Revelation chapter 18, it tells us that these dirty little birds are actually demons. And then in John chapter 10, Jesus warned about the wolf that would try to get in and destroy and devour the sheep. Peter told us that Satan goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in Revelation chapter 12, there is Satan as a dragon trying to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. You face all kinds of temptation. You face the serpent of deception. How did he deceive Eve in the garden? What did he say? He said, "You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You'll make your own decisions. And Satan will try to deceive you into thinking that you know more than your parents, that your parents are holding you back, that your way is the right way. But you know, twice the book of Proverbs tells us that there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He is a bird that is trying to steal the gospel seed out of your heart. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 and 4 says, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'Listen, a sower went out to sow, and while he sowed, some seeds fell beside the path, and the birds came and devoured them.'" Verses 18 and 19 explain that parable. Jesus says, "Therefore, listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one who receives seed by the path." These dirty birds steal the word of God out of the heart of people. This is why we are told that we are to give all diligence to guard our heart, because Satan wants to steal the gospel so that you will believe another gospel, so that you will believe a different gospel. And I want you to know that there are all kinds of gospels that are being preached and being proclaimed today, but there is only one true gospel, and that is the gospel that Satan does not want you to believe. It's the one that he doesn't want you to put your faith in. And so what you need today is anchor your life. Anchor your heart to the truth. Buy the truth no matter what it costs. And never, ever let the truth go. You anchor your heart to truth. And what is truth? It's biblical doctrine. I get so upset today when people say, oh, I'm not interested in doctrine. I don't care about doctrine. Well, I'll tell you that doctrine is the very thing that will anchor your soul from deception. You better believe in doctrine. You better know what you believe. And you better know why you believe it. There is another gospel. And then Satan and his ministers come as wolves, often in sheep's clothing. I'm talking about false shepherds, false teachers, false prophets. Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I'm talking about, you better be careful of woke pastors, woke youth pastors, and progressive churches. And then Satan is he's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. You need to be careful. You need to be on the alert because he means to undermine your faith. He means to sow discord. He wants you to be at odds with your parents. He wants to sow discord and to get you to stop believing and revert to carnality. And then Satan is like a dragon trying to destroy Jesus in your life. He wants you to think wrong thoughts about Jesus, and he wants you to deconstruct your faith. There are people that I know that I thought it would never happen to, but they are working through this process of deconstructing their faith, and you know what happens? They wind up, most of them wind up after this time, they wind up with no faith at all. It would be a lot easier for Jeremiah to take that bucket and go down without a light to a trail that he has never been on before, to do it all by himself, than he would go through this time in his life, in this generation of his life, without the guidance, the wisdom, the protection, and the love of godly parents. With the help of godly parents and pastors, though, you can resist Satan. It's not hopeless for you. You can resist him. You have to acknowledge Satan's activity, but don't be intimidated by him. You can resist him in the power of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil so that after the battle, you will be standing firm. And when we rebuff the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ, when we stand our ground, when we resist the wiles and stand in the victory of faith, when we shake off discouragement in the name of our Lord, you know what happens? Satan falls from heaven faster than lightning, and he's drowned in the Red Sea of the blood of Jesus Christ. Every time we resist the slightest temptation, we honor God. Every time we overcome even the smallest problem by trusting and obeying our Lord Jesus Christ, he is glorified in our lives. Whenever we choose character over convenience, faithfulness over ease, or honesty over deceit, we bring honor to the Lord himself. When we serve him with watertight obedience, even in the small things of life, God is glorified. But I tell you this, it is easier to resist him if you are not fighting against your parents. It is easier to resist him if the relationships in your life are right. It is easier to have a right relationship with God if you have a right relationship with those that are around you. Sandy was in the pastor's office. She saw the hurt in her mom's eyes, but she really didn't care how much she hurt the heart of her mom. She went into class. Her mom slipped out and went home. And after Sandy's mom picked her up trying to be as joyful as she could, Sandy ignored her. And when they got home, Sandy ran up to her room and slammed the door. Dad came home and tried to talk to her, but her friends encouraged her to stay strong. You're right. You need to stay strong. And so it went. What happened about a week later was one of those things that can't happen, but it did. Her mom dropped Sandy off at school, and Sandy had hardly spoken to her mom for the last 7 days. Sandy, I love you. Have a great day. Sandy slammed the car door and walked into school, angry and upset. On the way home, Sandy's mom had a head-on collision. Her mother instantly went into eternity. A little while later, the police called the pastor. Pastor, Sandy's mom had died in a car accident. Pastor, we thought you should be the one to give Sandy the news. So he went and knocked on her classroom door. He tried to smile as he said, "Could I talk to Sandy for a moment?" But with a smirk on her face and the looks of approval from her friends, she walked out the door. The pastor said, "Sandy, I need to talk to you." Sandy said, "If my mom is here, I don't want to talk." The pastor said, "Sandy, you don't understand. You are making things harder. Preacher, if she would just leave me alone, I'll be all right. What do you want anyway?" Sandy, after your mom left here, she had a head-on collision. With that, Sandy grew quiet. And then all of a sudden, "No, preacher, no. That couldn't be. How is she? Is she in the hospital? Is she all right? How bad is it?" "Sandy, I'm sorry. Your mom didn't make it." "No, preacher, no. Tell me it's not so. Tell me that's not true." At the funeral home, she looked into the casket at her mother. She looked at a mouth that would never be able to say the words, "I forgive you." She looked into the eyes that would never be able to look back. She looked at her hands that would never be able to touch her again. She looked at her arms that would never be able to hold her again. And she said, "Mom, I didn't mean it, Mom. I'm so sorry, Mom. I really didn't wish for you to die." But I'm trying to tell you this morning that it is very much impossible to disobey Proverbs 23:26 and give your heart to the wrong person and not live to regret it. Now, this story is sad and the message is sad, but it doesn't have to be sad for you. Because this could be the most joyous time you could ever have as a family. Young people, there isn't a mom or dad here whose heart would not melt if you simply went to them today and said, "Mom, Dad, I give you my heart." There's not a young person's heart that would not melt today if their mom and dad, I would hope that would be the case, that if mom and dad walked up to them, say, "Son, daughter, I love you. I want you to know I'm turning my heart to you. And these other things in life, they're not as important as you are." I had to live part of this message, not with my parents, but with my pastor. When I was growing up, I had a pastor that I did not give my heart to. In fact, I battled with this pastor. One day I was sitting in my office and I was reading my Bible and I was praying, and God brought this pastor to my mind. And I got to thinking how I treated him wrongly. I never gave him a chance. The pastor before him, we were such great friends. We were buddies. My mom babysat his children. They were in our home all the time. I got close to this pastor and he left. He took a different church, and I got angry and I got bitter, and I never gave the pastor that followed him really an opportunity to do anything. So that day in my office, I called him up and I got him and his wife on the phone, and I said, "I'm sorry for the way I acted in my teenage years, and I'm sorry that I never gave you my heart, never worked with you." And of course they were gracious and they said, they forgave me. You know, the story doesn't end there. Because when I came to pastor this church, this pastor's mom was in our congregation. Some of you know Alice Abbott. Not very many of you do. Della does. Laurie and some of the others probably remember Alice Abbott. But I got to thinking, you know how awkward that would be when her son came to visit, if I had had these bitter, angry feelings toward him in my heart yet, and wondering what he thought of me when he came, we were able to have a good relationship and fellowship. And together, she actually had two sons that were pastors. Her two sons and me had the privilege and the honor of conducting her funeral service. So I'm encouraging you to give your heart. Be careful who you give your heart to. It's meant to be given away. But give it to your parents. Especially if you have godly parents, give your parents your heart. And then Pastor Josh and I would love to have a chance to earn your heart. Most importantly, give your heart to God. And if you have not done that this morning, that's where you need to begin. That's where it needs to start. Would you give your heart to God? And would you give your heart to mom and dad? Moms, dad, don't expect it today. In case it doesn't happen. But that just means that you have some work to do in winning those hearts of your children. And I wonder today if the world is in such a mess, because part of the reason is we are under this curse because we have not turned our hearts toward our children and had our children turn their hearts toward us. It is a priority. Our relationship with God, the top priority. Our relationship with our husband and wife, next priority, but our priority also then falls with our children. Could I have your head bowed and your eyes closed? Tonight we're starting this message on talking with your kids about Jesus, the apologetics class. This is to combat those animals that we talked about, and in particular that one where Satan is as a dragon seeking whom he may devour. And then also Satan as a lion. And then as Satan as a dragon trying to destroy the Son of God. He can't destroy Jesus, but what he can do is try to destroy your faith in him. So that's why we're going to start out here with talking to your kids about Jesus and having these conversations together. And I would ask that you would prayerfully consider joining us on that. But as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart today, is there somebody you need to give your heart to? Do you need to give it to God? You maybe just give God lip service. You're not fooling him. He doesn't want lip service. He wants your heart. He wants your love. It's not what you do for him. Because if your heart is in the right place with him, you'll do the things that you need to do. He's asking for your heart today. God is asking for your heart. Perhaps you've been so busy serving him that you really haven't had much time to really just give him your heart and build that relationship with him. Maybe you need to give your heart to your children, or maybe young people, you need to give your heart to mom and dad. I'll let the Holy Spirit work on that. Father, we come today and just ask that you would melt hearts together. That you would do a work in our families. I pray if there is any young person here today that has had the attitude of Sandy, Lord, that you would just change that heart today. That we would make sure that we are in right relationships with those that you have placed in our life, with the authorities that you have placed there. And Lord, if we've had a combative nature with our parents or with any authority, we ask, Lord, that you'd do a work in our heart to change that, that we would recognize it and we would repent of it and we would turn from it. Thank you that the victory that you have for us is there for the taking. We know, Lord, that if we don't take the victory, it's because our heart is not right. So bring us to a place where our heart is right before you and others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I know I kept you even longer. I just had this mess. I feel better. I don't know about you, but I feel better. I've got it off my chest. So as I said, we have dinner on the grounds. For those of you that want to be a part of something, I'm going to let you talk. You don't want to do it today? All right, we held you long enough. You're dismissed. God bless you.